Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from Mark 3, and we're going to focus on verse 5. And he, that is Jesus, looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to once again hear the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit to work through this word, to work faith in our hearts and love in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing our series called Breaking Boundaries. This is all about Jesus' interactions with the Pharisees in the Gospel of Mark, and it's really about God's grace breaking through the lines in the sand that we draw in our lives. And so we've heard about Jesus breaking boundaries with the outcasts, with the rule keepers, with the lawbreakers, and today we're looking at the hard-hearted. It's a condition called arterial sclerosis. It's essentially plaque that builds up in blood vessels in your body and literally makes your arteries hard. And if too much plaque builds up, it can cause a blockage, which causes strokes, heart attacks, and yes, even death. But since this condition can move also through some of the largest arteries in your body, which is the heart, you can literally have a hard heart. And this condition affects millions of people. You might even say it's an epidemic. But this morning, I want to talk about another epidemic of hard hearts that affects everyone. It's a condition that has a person in New York City a few years ago that was mugged and stabbed right out there in the open. And as this person was laying there in a growing pool of blood, did anyone rush to call 911? Did anyone rush to this person's side to help them? No. For 2 minutes, a crowd of onlookers just stood there gawking at this person. In fact, a few of them whipped out their cell phones, started recording, even going around this person, filming. That's the epidemic I'm talking about. It's an epidemic where you can't just simply disagree with someone else's opinion. Okay, you have a different opinion, I have mine, that's fine. No, now it's my opinion is right and you're wrong, and therefore I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to cancel you. You're going to lose your job, you're going to lose your reputation, you're going to lose everything that you hold dear just so that I can be right. It's an epidemic where so many of us refuse to listen, refuse to change, even when it's good, but especially refusing to help others when they are desperately in need. And I'm sorry to say that this epidemic also has infected the body of Christ. Now, what does it look like, this unique expression of hard-heartedness among the followers of Jesus? Well, it looks like you and me refusing to give or to offer the grace and love of Jesus Christ to those who desperately need it. You know you have a hard heart when you have to be right, when you have to have everything right about your faith, and it gets to the point where you're not even going to listen to someone else. You're not even going to share your faith with someone else who has a different faith or who has a different worldview. You know you have a hard heart when you are suffering. And I mean, not just having a bad day, things are not going well at all with your health, with your relationships, with your finances, you name it. And you refuse to help someone else who is in need. Because you're too focused on trying to get yourself better, trying to get things back to where you wanted them, you don't really care about them. You know you have a hard heart when you're hurt, when you're in pain, when someone does something to you, when someone says something to you, when they fail you, when they disappoint you, and you refuse to forgive. You refuse to offer the grace of Jesus Christ because it's just too painful. You see, you and I refuse this because we're too focused on ourselves. We're too focused on our own sense of righteousness, making sure that we are okay, that we are good, that we are right, even at the expense of someone else who desperately needs what we have. And so that brings us to our text, and right away, you can see just how hard-hearted the Pharisees actually were. So it's kind of like a showdown at the OK Corral here, you know. They're in the synagogue, Jesus and his disciples are there, and then on the other side there's these Pharisees, and they're just looking for a fight. They're watching them. They're like, oh, we want to accuse them. Oh, we want to take them down. And Jesus, on the other hand, he's kind of like, I want to teach him a lesson, a good lesson. So what does he do? He sees a man with a withered hand. You know, atrophied, probably nerve damage, could have been a birth defect of some kind. But here's the key. This man's condition was not immediately life-threatening at all. But then Jesus asked the Pharisees a question. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? You know, it's a rhetorical question, right? You're supposed to do good and save life even on the Sabbath, right, guys? But they're silent. Because if they say yes, then they will undermine everything that they have built their life on. Their interpretation of God's holy law, their piety, their actions, all of it. But if they say no, ooh, what's everyone else in the synagogue going to think about them? But you know what they're really thinking. They're like, Jesus, come on. You know there are 6 other days of the week in which you can do this kind of thing. Why don't you wait a day and do it on that day, huh? They looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. Oh, he was angry. He was angry because they were so concerned about keeping the boundaries, keeping that fence around breaking God's law, that they failed to see the purposes and the blessings of the Sabbath day, and they failed to even see the suffering that this man was going through. And in a way, that kind of made him sad, too. Really sad. Because the Pharisees were not rejoicing in what was going on here, in what was about to happen. So Jesus just simply says to the man, stretch out your hand. Stretches it out. And it is restored completely and totally. And what happens next? The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him.
Wow.
I know what you're thinking. How ironic. The Pharisees are actually on the Sabbath day plotting to kill Jesus, and yet they're so concerned about all these life-saving activities he's about to do for this man? Oh, wow. And maybe you feel angry too. You're looking at these Pharisees like, man, man, these guys are so insensitive. It's like they're looking at this guy with their phones out and just recording him rather than doing something about it. But maybe you feel sad as well, because Jesus had come to restore the Pharisees as well. Not their withered hands, their withered hearts, with his grace and his love. I came across a painting that drives this home a little bit. I want to show it to you. I've shown this painter and his paintings before during my messages, and this one just is so awesome. It's by James Tissot, and this is a painting called The Man with the Withered Hand, part of an entire series that he painted called The Life of Jesus. And when you look at it, you can see it's just rich in detail, but I want to point out a few details there. First, look at the crowd. You know, look at the people surrounding Jesus and the man. You see all kinds of reactions. You see one just kind of leaning back, just hard hearts right there. Why is he doing this? Others are amazed that this is actually happening. Some are skeptical, but I think at least one of them looks hopeful. Wow. There's actually someone here that can do this. And then you look at Jesus. I love Jesus here. He's got his hands up. It's like he's like, I'm not touching you. Not doing it. Not working. I'm going to heal you with my words here, but I'm not touching you. I'm not doing any work on the Sabbath. But he's holding his hands up in blessing. I'm about to give you a blessing here. And then you see the man standing in front of him, stretching out his hand like normal. And even though you can't really tell that it's in a healed or not healed, if you look really close, you can see his finger sticking out. It's like he's pointing to Jesus. It's like he's pointing to Jesus and saying to everyone, he's the one. He's the one that can restore my hand. In fact, he's the one that can restore everything. In fact, he's the one that can restore everything for everyone. You see that man with the withered hand there? That's us. That's you and me. Not that we have withered hands, but we have withered hearts hardened by sin. But Jesus breaks the boundaries of our hard hearts with his grace and his love for you and me. When our hearts are hard because we have to be right, Jesus restores our hearts with the truth that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That if you hold to his teaching, you are his disciples. You'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. You will be set free by the Son, me, the Son of God. When our hearts are hard because we are suffering in this life, Jesus restores our hearts with his own suffering at the cross, and then rising again to declare absolute 100% victory over everything that afflicts us. When our hearts are hard because of pain and hurt, Jesus restores our hearts. He restores our hearts by taking all of that pain, all of that hurt, all sin, your sin, their sin, everyone's sin, to the cross, taking it upon his shoulders, bearing its weight, because we cannot do it. You see, Jesus here is the one doing good by allowing others to harm him. Jesus is the one that saves your life, my life, all life, by letting others kill him at the cross. Jesus is the one that restores hard hearts by stretching out his own hands on the cross and taking all of our hard-hearted anger and grief to the cross, nailing it there and crying out to every single one of us, Father, forgive them. And that's when hearts restored by the grace and love of Jesus Christ, they think of others in need. You see, a heart restored by Jesus seeks to share the truth of Jesus with everyone, but they do it where their conversation is seasoned with grace. They do it with an answer for the hope that is within them, but with gentleness and respect. A heart restored by Jesus seeks to help those who are suffering, using whatever gifts of word and deed God has given to you and to me. A heart that is restored by Jesus seeks to actually forgive, no matter how painful it is, because all you're doing is sharing the same grace that you yourself have received. You see, a heart restored by the grace and love of Jesus Christ forgets oneself. All of your ultimate desires and needs, all of them, Jesus has already taken care of that. So you are now free to share his love, share his grace with all the withered hearts in the world. I don't know about you, but I can't think of a better way to address an epidemic of arteriosclerosis with the only one that can cure it, the only one that can heal it, the only one that does good, that saves lives, that restores hard hearts. To him alone be the glory, now and forever. Amen.